Chag Sameach, everyone. You all know that the Gemara say, "Benisan nigalu, benisan atidim ligael." The month of Nisan has the highest chance to have the geula, the salvation, which means we have about 10 more days left for the month of Nisan. But on Pesach is the highest chance, because once there was one salvation already, one geula, as you can see, every holiday, every time of the year when the time comes, there's a special spiritual light in Shamayim for that time, for the holiday, which is able that the same thing will happen again. But so far it didn't happen yet. And the sad news is that the Gemara also say, kol dor, every generation that Beit HaMikdash is not built, it's actually the direct fault of the people that live in that generation. In this case, it's us. If the Beit HaMikdash was not built, we have to understand that if we were good enough in the eyes of Hashem, there's no reason why not to build the third Beit HaMikdash. We have to know one thing. The first and the second Beit HaMikdash were destroyed, but the third one will not be destroyed. Nobody can destroy it. Why? First one and the second one were destroyed because of the sin of the people. People make sins. Instead of hurting the people, Hashem actually took his anger on the wood and the stone, like he say. Shlachti et chamati al etzim v'al avanim. I actually threw my anger on wood and stones. Why? Instead of punishing the people. But when the third Beit HaMikdash will be built, it will be only after the whole world will be clean from all the Reshaim, from all the wicked people, and nobody will make sins. After Hashem cleaned the world from all the wicked people, non-Jews and Jews, all the people that will be left, that means they were tzaddikim. They had big zchuyot. Some people will have to go through hard time. But eventually, if they made it, they made it. Once they made it, this final geula will be this time perfect. All the geulot that we had until now, all the salvations that we had until now, it was not perfect. Which means, first, many people died. That's one problem. Second problem is, after the salvation, new problems came, right? We lost the first temple, then we had the second temple, right? Then we lost the second temple, which means after one salvation, problem came again. Another salvation, problems came again, right? After Egypt, the Bavlim came. After the Bavlim, in between you had Plishtim. You had Bavlim, you had the Persians, you know, Ahasuerus and Haman. You had the Greeks, you have the Romans. And since then you have the Arabs. It never been perfect. Perfect salvation means that after Hashem came and performed, that's it. Nothing can go back. There's no downgrade. Only final upgrade, and it stays in the top level. And that's what's going to happen when Mashiach comes. But that cannot happen until the world will be clean. That's what we say every day. Letaken olam b'malchut shaddai. When we say aleinu l'shabeach, what do we say? Letaken olam b'malchut shaddai. To correct the world, to fix the world in the kingdom of Hashem. The world can only be fixed when nobody makes sins. However, you have to know one thing. It's a little bit tricky. Pay attention how it's going to be. When Mashiach comes, the same thing that happened in Mitzrayim would happen again, unfortunately. In Mitzrayim, only 20% came out. The rest, 80%, didn't believe enough in Hashem. They say, you know, after all these horrible times we had, we just worked for 86 years. We finally were released. We came out of the ghetto, the whatever you want to call it, the slavery. Now we want to stay. We don't want to go back. Imagine, just try to imagine something like that. The Jews were in Auschwitz, Treblinka, all these horrible places. It's Gehenom on earth, those places. Mamash, the worst thing you can imagine. When the war was over, the Russians and the Americans liberate the camps. Imagine that the Jews that left there, they would say, leave us, we want to stay here in Germany. We want to stay here to live here. We don't want to leave Germany. We want to stay here in Poland, in Auschwitz. We want to live around here. Nobody would believe such thing. Well, you're normal. After finally you see the light, you want to stay in this horrible place? You should beg us to take you out of here. The faster, the better. When the Jews say, Baruch Hashem, Paro is destroyed, his army, every firstborn died, thousands of Egyptians are dead, Hashem destroyed their idol worshipping, their gods, the Niles, the sheep. They're mentally destroyed, physically also. What is there? Now we have maybe 100 years of quiet. Nobody will dare to mess with us after what Hashem did for us. Why should we go on an adventure to go on a desert now out of nowhere? What are we going to do now? Let us stay here. Nobody would mess with us. We like the master of the lands. They already know with the Hebrews you don't mess. Hashem said, oh yeah? Why do you think I made this whole salvation? For you to stay here in exile? This is all this slavery was the beginning of a process that I'm going to take you eventually to Eretz Israel to build Beit HaMikdash after I give you the Torah. So the whole preparation here, the whole preparation was to prepare you for the day that you're going to get the Torah and to go to Eretz Israel. So what is this now? Now you want to stay over here? You want to stay here in exile? We just took you out of Auschwitz and Treblinka and you say, no, we want to go back to our house across the street? What do I need you for? So what happened right after that? Only 20% came out. And remember, that was before the Torah was given. There was only one mitzvah mainly, Emunah in Hashem. All the Torah is around Emunah in Hashem, Emunah v'bitachon. If it's very, very high, very easy to keep mitzvot. You don't have Emunah and Bitachon, very difficult to keep mitzvot. To put one quarter in a box, it's difficult if you don't have Emunah and Bitachon. If you have high Emunah and Bitachon, your life is easy. No matter what happened, you're in control. So what happened? Hashem said, you don't want me, stay here, no problem. Makat Choshech, only 20% came out. I always wonder how Pesach Bichlal, it's a holiday. I don't understand. If you ask me, I have no answer to this question. If 12 million Jews died, how can you celebrate a holiday? Right now, 6 million died 70 years ago. Until today, there's not 1 hour in the world that it's not mentioned. So many people cry still. There's still survivors. There's museums everywhere. I mean, it's affecting us mentally nonstop. Imagine now that the Holocaust Day would be a celebration. People will go crazy when you're normal. You want to make a holiday here? 12 million did not want to go out. They passed away with the Egyptians. And eventually Hashem said, it's not rabbinical holiday. It's mamash from the Torah. It's the most important holiday, Chag HaCherut. But when it will happen soon, Bezrat Hashem, this time it will be a final salvation. No more going reverse. After the Taken Olam B'Malchut Shaddai, everything will be perfect. All the tzaddikim left, those who made tshuva before Mashiach came, all the righteous goyim, the righteous Gentile, they will be left. The rest of the people miss the train. They miss the train. After that, no more chataim, no more sins. Why no more sins? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is eliminating the Satan. The Satan, right now, the Yetzer Hara, the Satan, is the same thing. We all have constant Yetzer Hara to do bad things. But once there's no more Yetzer Hara, everybody will be not happy, delighted. It will be wonderful. Why? Because right now, the only reason people don't keep mitzvah, what do you think? Because they're bad, they're evil? No. It's because the Seor Sheba Issa Me'akev, all the time the Satan. For instance, there are some people, they love to learn Torah. They love. When they finally in Shiur Torah, accidentally they got into Shiur Torah, their eyes coming out. They enjoy every minute. They are beautiful. But eventually you tell them next week, come, there's again shiur, weekly shiur, come again. There's a game, there's a stupid game, there's a party, there's a birthday party. I always find out something. But last week you enjoy. Of course, last week I already happened to be there. It got me by surprise, I was there already. But the idea for me to come, to get dressed, to come to the shiur, to sit for 2 hours and to listen, the Satan does not let, he fights. Some people ask, wait a minute, we know there will be Tchiyat Hamitim, resurrection of the dead. Right now, all the people who passed away, where are they? They're in Shamayim, no? Their soul is enjoying very much. People ask, if I'll be tzaddik Bezrat Hashem, when I pass away from this world, where will I go? I know where the wicked people go, you don't need to explain to me. I heard enough about it. But if I'll be tzaddik, where will I be going? So the answer is, where the tzaddikim are? Learning Torah in Shamayim. So he said, wait, excuse me, I'm allergic to Torah right now. You want me to go over there? If I'll be tzaddik, you want to give me something that I'm allergic to? I always try to go around, not to go to shiur Torah. Yeah, but tefillin, I come. In the morning, 5 o'clock, I'm in a shul, no problem. But to learn Torah is already too much for me. You know, my head is not working, Rabbi. I'm not a young guy. In business, he's a shark. His brain is computer. When it comes to Torah, excuses, it's hard for me. So the answer is, how a person will be actually learning Torah, that's his reward. The answer, there's a difference between learning Torah now and learning Torah without the body. What's the difference? When you sit in Shiur Torah, the body is hungry, it's too hot, he needs a cigarette, he has this, check his messages every 2 minutes. So many addictions in the life of a person that always distract him from the target. This is the way the Satan is, the Yetzer Hara. Right away, as soon as the rabbi begins to speak, he remembers he got a text 10 minutes ago. Right away, and then he checked the one before, and the one before, and the end of the Shiur, he tells him, can you say one thing of what you heard in the Shiur? You know, nothing. Usually, you ask a person an hour after the shiur, no, can you say one thing that you heard in the last hour? Most of the time, they don't remember. 5% maybe. 5% of the shiur, if we're lucky. I always say, in every shiur, a speaker must say something to shake the heart of the people. At least one thing. To shake their heart. That they have a moment of, a wave of, of a fear, that they say, you know what, if he's right, I'm in a serious problem. Why? That's the only thing he would remember after the lecture, forever. Nothing else he will remember, but this he will remember. Why? It will shake him out. Oh, you know what? There's something I do wrong. I better start working on it. So the idea is like this. When a person sits here and learns Torah, there's so many things that resist, that it's very difficult for him to enjoy. He has memory issues. He has concentration issues. He has problems. He didn't pay the mortgage, his children, his marriage. So many things on his mind. He cannot enjoy it the way it should be. But once a person, his soul comes out of the body and he goes to Shamayim, he doesn't have fatigue, no memory issues, no hunger, no shalom bayit issue, no mortgage to pay, no problems in the bank account, no enemies around, nothing. It's all so pure. The soul, the neshama of a person, cannot leave the Torah for a second. It's like an addiction. You cannot stop for a second. In this world, you have people like this. I happen to meet few people like this in my life that cannot leave the book for a minute, no matter what's the situation. No matter what's the situation. They cannot leave the book. So in Shamayim is 100% pure. So I started to explain. This is time that is able, mesugal, for the Geula. If the Geula doesn't come, and Chas v'Shalom Pesach passed again, and we don't have the Geula, like the Gemara say, every generation Bet HaMikdash was not built, check ourselves. That means we are the reason for it. Not only what happened in the past. But once the third one will be built, Baruch Hashem will be built for good. No more war, nobody comes after that, after Hashem fixed the world. We have to make order a little bit how things are. You know, in a In the Moshe Rabbeinu, when everything started when Hashem called him to the burning bush, the sneh. That's how it all started. Hashem took Moshe, take your shoes off, and he saw, you know, the burning bush. And that's really the beginning of the whole process. When was that? What date it was? It was Tetvav Benisan. Tetvav Benisan, Aita Tchilat Nevuato Shel Moshe Basne. V'aya HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, brought him to the Sne, and after that, 7 days, right? It was 7 days that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is preparing him for 7 days, and then on the 21st day of Nisan, he went to Midian, La'atir Shvuato Le'itro. He sworn to Itro. He had to go to Midian. He went to Midian. From Midian, he went to Mitzrayim. Then Moshe and Aaron came to Pharaoh, and they warned him, right? And then Moshe went and disappeared for 3 months. Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz. They didn't see him for 3 months. And then when Moshe returned, it started Makat Dam, 7 days. It was the month of Av. And then Makat Sfardea in Elul. Kinim in Tishrei, lice. Arov in Cheshvan. Dever Kislev, Shchin in Tevet. Barad in a month of Shvat. Arbe in a month of Adar. Choshech in a month of Nisan, all 7 days. And right after that, there was 7 days break. And then in the 15th of Nisan, it was Makat Bechorot. So from the time that Moshe and Aaron gave a warning to Paro in Nisan until Makat Bechorot, exactly a year, 1 year. So this is the whole process until Baruch Hashem we came out of Mitzrayim. Then we came out of Mitzrayim, night of Leila Seder, we came out of Mitzrayim. 3 days, they said to Paro, 3 days. Then when he found out that they're not coming back, he sent his army to chase us. Until the final miracle that we saw the Egyptian soldiers are all drowning, the Shvi'i Shel Pesach. This is the whole process right now. From A to Z, how we finally came out. The question that we have, inside Mitzrayim, the Egyptian did something that the Torah is very angry at them, but I want to ask your opinion why. The Egyptians saw that the Jews, they used to live in Goshen. They have a Jewish ghetto. They live over there where Yaakov came. Yosef told them, say that you are shepherd. Why? They don't like shepherd. Because the sheep is their God. They'll give you an isolated place that you don't have to get mixed with these idol worshippers. So all the Jews went to Goshen. Yosef was in charge of the checks. So they had Baruch Hashem Parnassah. Everything worked out beautiful. The Jews are together. Later, the Torah say, "Umala haaretz otam," that the Jews started to move. They moved to Manhattan. They moved to San Francisco. They moved to Las Vegas. They started to move to places they're not supposed to be there. What was the reaction of the Egyptian? The Egyptians see, like today in the world, you go to Germany now, they go crazy when they see all the Turkish people everywhere. You go to France, Arabs everywhere. I travel to Europe, I go to places, mamash scary. The whole airport is Arabs, everywhere you go. You go, you see around, you go to Belgium, you go to London, you go to places, mamash full of them, everything. They take over everywhere. So I went there and I go after a few days, I leave. The people that live there, imagine their fear from what's happening in their country. Now when the Egyptians saw that the strangers, the country that came, the nation that came, and now they're all over Egypt, they started to get worried about their country. They said, listen, tomorrow it's going to be a war. We have strangers living everywhere in Mitzrayim. They're going to make a coup together. They will help them from inside. They will help them from outside. We will lose our country, and they'll take over. We have to take actions against them. What exactly is wrong here? In Israel, now, you have about 15 to 20% Arabs that lives in Israel, they have Israeli passport. Not once, not twice, maybe who knows how many hundreds of times, they caught some of them helping the Hamas, helping all kinds of terrorists, helping Hezbollah, selling secrets, giving secrets. You know, just a few days ago, they caught somebody from the army giving secrets to Syria. People from inside Israel, some of them with Israeli army uniform, they're helping the enemy. So it's very normal that people that do not belong to your nation and they live inside of you, they would have incentive to help somebody from outside. You always have to be on alert. You cannot trust them 100%. You have to be very careful. So my question is, what the Egyptian did wrong? We're talking politics now. Politics. They have a nation that taking over Egypt. They're spreading many, too many, everywhere they go. They started to get nervous. So everything we build here, these Hebrews is going to take over. So what was really wrong here that Hashem got so upset with what happened after they started the slavery and everything? What was so bad? The answer is, if there's anything HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot stand, is ungratefulness, when people are ungrateful. Technically, if it was the way I describe it, they had all the rights to defend themselves. Self-defense. You know, Hashem, from all the nations of the Goyim, which nation he cannot stand the most? Amalek. Amalek. The chair of Hashem is incomplete until the memory of Amalek will be destroyed, erased. Nothing will be left from them. But we don't see in the Torah that Hashem did anything like that to any other nation. Only Amalek, constantly it's against Amalek. It's mitzvah from the Torah to destroy, to erase the memory of Amalek. Why is it? All nations that we had problems with, usually all the wars between nations, it's about border, it's about something, politics. There's something here to fight about. Land, money, you want to go through their land, they disagree, they're afraid, they worry, they maybe worry you're going to make something to them while you're going through. So they have at least a reason to argue. Amalek always attack us on the way. It's nothing, we don't want their land, nothing with them. They attack us always, surprise. What do you enjoy from it? At least you attack, you want to gain something. What are you gaining by attacking us? We have nothing to do with you. Not coming to live with you. We don't want anything to do with you. Same thing over here. The problem here was that technically the Egyptians said the right to defend themselves, but they forgot only one thing. And that changed the whole picture. That without Yosef the Jew, they didn't have any existence. Egypt would collapse completely. Egypt would collapse completely. Without Yosef that took over the treasury of Egypt, what would happen to them? They will all starve to death, like the rest of the world. Basically, the whole world was saved thanks to one Jew. He saved your country. He made you the richest country in the world. Everybody came from all over. They gave their land 100% to get some food. Paro became not a billionaire, a trillionaire. Egypt it was strong before, but after that, 100 times better. So everything you have is thanks to them. Without them, you didn't have an existence. Same thing with Ammon and Moab, with Avram and Lot, that Avram saved Lot. Later on, Ammon and Moab did not give bread and water. How much is bread and water? $2, $3. Each one would give $2, $3 donation to the strangers who passing by. But since they did not do it, Hashem said, you know what? These nations can never convert. We don't accept converts from them. Why? Ungrateful. Ungratefulness. It's all about gratefulness. If somebody asks you, I want you to tell me what Judaism in one word. What Judaism is all about. One word in Hebrew. In one word, not two. One word that describes Judaism perfectly. One Hebrew word. What is it? The answer is mode. One word. Four letters, one word. What's mode? Mode has two meanings. Same word, two meanings. Mode ala emet, always sticking to the truth, always searching for the truth, always admitting, always following the truth. And mode milashon toda. Say thank you. Always thank you, thank you, thank you. To appreciate what you have, not to look what you don't have. To see how much Hashem did for us. So the whole point here is that the Egyptian only made one critical mistake. They forgot who saved them. If they remember who saved them, if they were grateful enough, it wouldn't get to that, that they go against their children. Now, there's one question that we still have to answer. We know that Shevet Ephraim, they came out of Mitzrayim before. They came about 2 months before the exodus of Egypt, and they all got attacked by Plishtim, and they all got killed. Those who came out, later, hundreds of years later, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took Prophet Yechezkel, and he took him to that place over there, as some kind of a valley. And it's called Chazon HaAtzamot HaYeveshot, the resurrection of the dead. He told him, Ben Adam, he said, hey, Mr. Yechezkel, do you think these bones can come back to life? The answer of the prophet was very surprising. Very surprising. What did he answer? Atayadata, you know. What do you mean you know? You should have said, of course, Hashem. Ha'ipale me'Hashem davar. Of course they can come back to life. The Gemara already discussed these things. Now one Roman asked the Chachamim, you believe that a person can come back from a skeleton? So he asked him, from a drop, a person can rise to life. It's not surprising. Skeleton is half ready. You have the head, you have the bones, it looks like a person a little bit. From a drop, a person gets up and becomes alive. You're not worried about that, but from the skeleton, you're wondering? The answer is, there's always a question like this. What's the difference between miracle and nature? Nature and miracle, what's the difference?
We're used to nature.
Everybody who follows nature, it's full of miracles. Rain is a big miracle. Everything, oxygen everywhere, always, it's a big miracle. Seasons, fruits, trees, everything you see in the world, animals, birds, everything is miracles. So why we don't call everything a miracle? Call everything nature or call everything miracle? Why sometimes we call it teva and sometimes we call it nes?
Nature is a constant.
Very good. The frequency. That's the only difference. How frequent it is. It happens every day, every minute. We got used to it. We see it nonstop. We're not excited. It happens once in a blue moon. Wow, look what happened. I once gave an example. If tomorrow morning, instead of regular rain, it's going to be red rain. Red falling from heaven. You look at the floor. You see, everything is red. What would happen in the world? Everyone would run to hide under the bed. People would hide in a trunk. Everyone would be panicked. The stock market would crash. Nobody knows what happened. Maybe aliens from different star came. Maybe it's an atomic bomb. Nobody ever saw such thing, right? But a few days later, again the same rain. What happened to the people? Only 80% hiding. 20%, they say, in America, time it's money. They go with umbrella like this, they got to make money. By the way, if somebody ever tell you, in America, time is money, you should answer them, the truth is, money, it's time, not time, it's money. Money, when a person is greedy, money, 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 to make money, you need to put time. Time, it's life. If you don't do the right thing with your life, you wasted all your life with money, money, money. Why? Again, no emunah has to work extra in the office until 11 o'clock. So actually, not time is money. Money is really time. Money burns the life when a person is constantly running after it and takes away all his time. So we go back to what I say. After a few times, nobody gets excited. But if a person was in a coma and he came back to reality now, he comes out of the hospital, he sees millions of people in Manhattan walking with umbrella, everything red. What would happen to him? He said, I'm probably already in Olam Haba. It cannot be, I'm here. Why? Because everybody got used to it. Which means there's really no difference between miracle and ness. It's all ness. The name of Hashem, Elohim, it's Gimatria HaTeva. Nature equal the name of Hashem. Why? To show you that actually what you see around here, it's all Hashem. I once gave a lecture about the physical world. Physical world. The physical world, right? You look, you go in Manhattan, you look at the building, it's so big. Wow, so much material. If you take away the supervision of Hashem from the creation 1 second, what's the real size of the building? Do you know? The real material-wise, the real size of a huge Empire State Building. How much material the Empire State Building has? Take the needle. Next time when you come to sew, look at the head of the needle, the point. Inside, how small it is. There is less material in a whole building than that little tiny point. How can it be? It's 100 floors, 1,000 people live there, offices. Ma, what are you saying? It's little needle. How does it give us such a big building if the real massa is less than a point of a needle? How can it be? The answer is, it's the movement of the atoms. The atoms move so fast, it's create a wonderful illusion that the building really exists. But it doesn't really exist. This whole world of material, if you take away the movement of the atoms, will be like a gum or a tennis ball. The whole world, it's hard to believe such thing. The movement of the atoms is so fast, it creates an illusion. It doesn't really exist. The Rambam already spoke about it 850 years ago. That even in a material world, it's all an illusion. It's nothing but Hashem. Enot milvado. It's all Hashem. All these movements is HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes all the movements of the atoms and it creates an illusion. Let me give you an example what it means. If you have a fan at home, right? Your heart. You press one on a fan. So it makes some air, right? It makes some air. If you go slow speed, so it goes around very slow. Very slow, you can see that it's four arms moving. If you click two, now it moves faster. If you click three, it's very, very fast. When you click three, it looks like a full circle, right? It doesn't look four arms. It looks like a real circle, like a round circle. Only those who know fan and they saw it before, they know it's an illusion here, what I see. It doesn't really exist. There's really four arms, but they move so fast, it creates a nice round thing. The speed of the fan is nothing compared to the speed of the atoms. The speed of the atoms are so fast that they can create a huge place, and it's really all 100% illusion. It's ramash amazing how it is. If we learn about the secret of the creation and the secrets of the body, there's no possibility not to fall in love with Hashem. The more you learn about these things, it's hard to believe. You know, people can come to complete falling in love with HaKadosh Baruch Hu even without touching a book. Just by learning biology, just by learning physics, just by learning these things, you can fall in love with the Creator, like the Rambam say. How a person fall in love with Hashem? You see what Hashem does for him in this whole world and the creation, he fall in love with Hashem. Of course, with the Torah is much, much sweeter. But I'm just showing that even from the physical world, we can learn so many things. There's one thing we still have to understand. How Shevet Ephraim came out of Mitzrayim? Who gave them permission to come out of Mitzrayim? That's question number one. Question number two, when the prophet came and saw the bones of Shevet Ephraim, Hashem asked him, do you think they can come back to life? He told Hashem, you know. Meaning, I'm not sure. Well, what kind of answer? He should have said, of course, whatever you want, happen in a second, ma. But the prophet didn't say that. They said, you atayadata, you know. Meaning, it's not 100% sure. Is it possible? Go on the street, call Mustafa. Say, Mustafa. Tal, come here. He said, yes. He said, tell me, do you think that if God wants to make this piece of wood a human being, can he do it or no? What Mustafa would say?
Yes.
Of course. You ask Chris, come, Chris, come. After he finished with his nonsense, come here. Do you think this can become a human being if God wants? Of course. So what did the Navi say? You know. He couldn't answer the same thing. The Navi knew what Mustafa and Chris didn't know, and most of us. He knew that when the resurrection of the day of the dead occurred, not everybody comes back to life. Many from those who are dead will come back to life. Chazal say many, but not all. Not everyone. Only the tzaddikim, people that were shomrei Shabbat, people that came to pray, people that gave tzedakah, people that were honest, women that dress modest, people that behave modest. What do you think? It's a picnic here? Everybody does whatever he wants. There are few psukim in the Tanakh that leaves no doubt that when Mashiach comes, not everyone will survive. It says she'erit Israel lo yasu. Avla ve'lo yedabru kazav. She'erit Israel means the leftover, those who will be left. And in few other places it says she'erit, she'ar, those who will be left, meaning not everyone will be left. We say it every morning in a tefillah. Uva le'tzion goel, lemi, who is he coming for, the Mashiach? Le'shave pesha be'Yaakov, to the Baalei Tshuva. Baalei Tshuva, but real ones. Real ones. One person went to buy a grave. Ponytail, earring over here, a few tattoos. Itzik from Shenkin. And Mendel, the Hasid, standing on line next to him. They come to the cemetery there. He said to him, oh. He said to the Hasid, what do you want? He said, I want to buy a grave. How much? $2,000. Here, fill up the papers, $2,000, it's yours. Then Itzik came. He said, I want something similar. He said, $2 million. He said, what is this, discrimination? If you want, I'll come next week with a beard with no ponytail. I want to also pay $2,000. He said, no, you're not getting the point. By him, it's only rent. Soon Mashiach comes, all the people comes out. He gives me back the land. By you, it's for good, my friend. $2 million, nothing less. It's a joke. But a sad joke. That's exactly how it's going to be. Now let's understand what the prophet's saying. The prophet sees thousands of skeletons. He doesn't know who is a big tzaddik, who is not tzaddik. Only Hashem knows these things. So he said to him, you know who is going to resurrect and who is not. Maybe they don't. Maybe the old reshaim, maybe none of them deserve to resurrect. So he said, of course they can come back. That wasn't the issue if they can come back or not. The issue here is if they have the schut to come back. One Yemenite guy told me, so you want to tell me that if I'm not going to become Baal Tshuva, I'm not going to come? My grandfather was Saadia de Mori in Teman. I say, your grandfather will come back. You, it's another question. When you be like your grandfather in Teman, then we'll talk. What do you think? Hashem see your beautiful eyes and he say, oh, I like this guy. No problem. First throwing, some people have an illusion that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and Rabbi Akiva prepare a chair for them on Gan Eden between them. This is it, but we live in illusions. That's the problem. The problem is that too many illusions, eventually the person is getting a shock, comes in front of Hashem, and it's not exactly how he thought. Now I want you to know one thing. There are many Baalei Tshuva, especially in today's generation, even here in this city, that they themselves really keep mitzvot. They come to shul, they became Baruch Hashem honest in the business, they keep Shabbat, modesty, Taharat Mishpacha, Tzedakah, they put the children in yeshivot. They try. They do a lot of wonderful things. But it's very difficult for them to cut their past. Meaning they continue business as usual, family, friends, everybody, everything is usual. I'm religious up to the point that it's family. As soon as it's family, the family comes in front of Hashem. It's a very common mistake. Judaism is head, not heart. Of course we need a heart. We are people, we need to have a heart. But if there is a conflict between the head and the heart, the head must win. If a person follows his heart, every day he's going to find himself in a different illusion. Like the priest told me in a debate, after 3 hours I was showing him that his religion is all nonsense. He said to me, "You put me in a hole. I don't know how I'm going to get myself out of there." I answered him, "I just proved to your religion that you teach for 31 years. It's all man-made religion. It's not from God." He didn't say no. What was his answer? "But my heart will not let me leave it. It was so good to me over the years." I answered him, "The heart, it's all illusions. Before Muhammad blow up the children and kill innocent children and women, he also have an illusion that he goes somewhere. Wait until he finds out where he goes and all the promises that they promised him. But it's all illusion. The heart, it's feelings, it's excitement. That's not the truth. The truth is the head. What the Torah say? The Torah, it's a compass. It shows you the right direction. The Gemara say, Rish Lakish used to be an ex-gangster. He had a gang. One day he went by the lake. He thought there is a woman over there. He went over there like a tiger, was swimming all over. He saw it's Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan was very nice looking. We say to him, "I know why you came here, but don't worry. My sister is much, much prettier than me. I'll make a deal with you. You come to the yeshiva, you learn with me, you do tshuva. I'll make you shidduch with my sister." So that was the beginning of the tshuva of Rish Lakish. Mitoch shelo lishma, ba lishma. He started for the sister. He ended up one of the gdolei hachachamim. He was such a chacham that Rabbi Yochanan was learning with him. Rabbi Yochanan lost 10 of his sons and he did not lose his mind. Still stay focused and learn and normal 100%. He was going to Shiva calls and showing the tooth or some piece of a body of his son to the people. He said, "You see, you lost one, I lost 10. Soon Mashiach would come." Said, you know, give them words, he's cheering them up. But when Rish Lakish passed away, Rabbi Yochanan, that's it, he lost his mind. He couldn't focus anymore. They used to bring him different rabbis. Say, no one is like this guy, Rish Lakish. No one. So the Chachamim started to pray that Hashem will take him away from the world. Do you believe such thing? From here, by the way, there's a question in a poskim. If a person is suffering, if we are allowed to pray to Hashem to take him out of this world, to cut him from the machines, we can't. Cut him with a hand. But can we pray to Hashem, "Please, Hashem, have mercy on this neshama. Look how much he suffer. Take him quickly." Because we cannot interfere with what Hashem wants for this neshama. But to pray, is it allowed to pray or no? So I saw a poskim brings raya from this, that the chachamim gathered together to pray that Hashem will take Rabbi Yochanan to the next world already. But the point here that I was making here is with Rish Lakish. What was special about Rish Lakish? What's special about Rish Lakish? The Gemara say, after Rish Lakish became tzaddik, every person that he spoke to on the street, everybody that had money ran to that person to invest money by him. With no witnesses, with no shtar, with no nothing. "Please, please. What is your business? I sell jewelry in 47th Street. Can I give you $1 million? We'll go partners." He just met him a minute ago. He doesn't even know who he is. "Can I be your partner? Here, you need money to invest in a business? Let's sit and make a contract. How much you gonna pay me?" Trust him. Why? They knew that Rish Lakish, once he became a Baal Tshuva, he cut his history away. He did not leave one leg in a yeshiva, one leg in a mixed parties. No. You want to be tzaddik, you have to be tzaddik. You don't want, no, we'll pray that you will be. But if you want to be tzaddik, you have to do it the right way. Enough with this show off. It has to be right. I'm not telling you that it should happen overnight. It takes a few years. I'm not saying no. But that's the goal. The goal is that I want to be 100% like the halakha, not tradition. Rabbi, that's our tradition. Mwah, mwah. You know, that's how we used to. What do you want? We're going to change our history? The answer is yes. The tradition is not important when it contradicts the Torah. Minhag, Rav Ovadia Zatzal say, Rav Chacham Ovadia, Minhag is a good thing, but it can also be the same letter, Gehenom. Minhag, if you play with the order of the letter, Gehenom. Why? Some minhagim that people may have and they invented, Chas v'Shalom, can lead them to contradict the Torah. And this is what we all have to understand. The understanding over here is that when I became Baal Tshuva, that means it has to be all the time, no matter what party there is tonight, no matter what people say and people make fun and they don't want to come. If we're not going to do it half enough, they won't come. All these things is big challenges. But I want to promise you one thing. If a person give up his wishes, he wants this way, but Hashem doesn't want it this way. Hashem wants it in a different way. And he say, you know what, Hashem, for you, I put my ego aside. I put my kavod aside. I even pay double money. Why? I want to do it the way you want it. And this is what a real Baal Tshuva is. Not that his pleasure and desire always come before Hashem. If my pleasure is Baruch Hashem according to the Torah, no, I'm very happy. I'm happy, Hashem is happy. But if my pleasure contradicts the Torah, my pleasure is more important. There's no such thing. We find today many of the women that became religious, they cover their hair. Those who cover their hair with a wig, most of the time the wig is so long that it's not kosher according to all opinions. You want to do it with a wig, fine. There are rabbis who say it's allowed, but no rabbi said that it's allowed all the way to the floor. And you know it. And you don't fool anybody. You know that it's not kosher, but you're still playing the game like it is, and everything is fine. You can fool the whole world, but why did you become to be a Baal Tshuva and in the end to violate the rule? What's the point of all this? You sacrifice so much, and in the end you violate almost every rule. Same thing with the skirt. Almost everywhere you go, the skirt above the knee. It has to be below the knee. There's halakha, there's laws. There's a law in the highway. You cannot go more than that speed. You go a little bit more, they pull you over, they give you a ticket. But it was only 10 miles more, come on. The law is the law. If the law over here is strict, the law of Hashem is much, much, much stricter. So I always say, if you do it right. If you do it right. You put a yarmulke, put a normal yarmulke, not a quarter that hides inside your curls. Don't be embarrassed to be a Yehudi, to put a yarmulke. I'm not saying if you work in a very dangerous area, your life is in a risk. Okay, put a baret hat. When I went to Turkey, to Istanbul, I took my uncle, Alav HaShalom, had a hat. You know, I looked 70 years old back then, but it's a hat. You walk in Istanbul, they don't know you're a Jew. You have these hats, they also have these hats. Understand? If it's dangerous, fine. I'm not saying, but here, it's not Baruch Hashem, not yet. It's not yet dangerous. We don't know where America is heading to. But right now, it's not dangerous. So if you do it right. If you pray, pray correctly. Learn the words, understand the meaning. You keep Shabbat, learn what Shabbat is. You cannot keep Shabbat 30, 40 years, and then you come to Hashem and say, can you tell us what Shabbat is? It's a day off from work. Hashem, that's what you know after 30 years to tell me? You don't know what Shabbat is? You don't know what it means? You don't know what the secrets of Shabbat? What does it mean, an eternal covenant between me and the nation of Israel? Why there is such a big punishment for not keeping Shabbat? Why? You had to know these things. Why is it? Because you didn't want to take a day off, so Hashem decided to give you such a punishment? Of course not. It's much, much, much deeper than that. What does it mean, tzedakah? How to give tzedakah? Who to give tzedakah? People give. But who to give? The same amount to this individual. Same amount to that individual. This one is a million times better than this. And you're going to get a million times bigger reward than this. Why didn't you use your head? Sometimes you come to do good things because you have a good heart. And by giving money to certain causes, you actually make a sin, not a mitzvah. If your friend comes to you 2 minutes before Shabbat and wants to borrow your car, you shomer Shabbat, your friend is not. Then it's obvious that he's going to drive the car in Shabbat. But you have a good heart. You cannot say no. You give him the car, you made a sin. He's driving your car has to rest on Shabbat. Even the kelim, even the donkey, everything that you own has to rest on Shabbat. If you ask a Friday morning, there's no guarantee he drives it on Shabbat. No, I'm not a prophet. 2 minutes, 5 minutes before Shabbat, he needs a car, he has something urgent to take care of. You're not allowed to give it to him. But my heart, Rabbi, you think I enjoy to give him the car? I know he's going to drive on Shabbat. Believe me, I was sitting and crying. The heart did not allow me to say no. The heart and the brain must win. The brain must win. If the heart will always win, you'll fail every one of the tests in life. And I'm telling it to you now in Chag Pesach, because Chag Pesach is the salvation holiday. But salvation from what? Salvation from the Yetzer Hara. Salvation from all the horrible things that are happening today in the world. Person go to Chirut. The Gemara say, En Baal Chirut ke Echad She'amel Batorah. There's really no freedom besides a person that is attached completely to the Torah. When the Torah is all your life, and you connect with that, and you think about it all the time, and you learn, and you read in a bus, you're in a subway, you're driving through in someone's car, you're in the middle of a party, there's going to be half an hour until the rabbi will show up, until the Brit Milah will begin, so you read half an hour Mishnayot, and you learn a few more. Your whole life is connected to the Torah. There's nobody luckier than this. There is one woman here in Great Neck that she has some kind of a saloon that people go to take. You know what? Maybe at least 40 or 50 times people came to me and say,
I called her. She really wanted to come.
You know, about 40 or 50 times people told me, you know how I found out about you? Every time I went to that lady to receive a treatment, I hear your voice there with the CDs non-stop in a place. And right away she recommends you have to listen, you have to listen. Baruch Hashem, we started to listen. Why? Connect to Torah. You can do work, you work, but at the same time you all day connects to Torah. Even if we suffer in this world, the next world will be in the highest level. I want all of you to know one thing. One thing. There is something in the Torah that it constantly repeats all the time. What is it? Zecher liitziat Mitzrayim. Every mitzvah, Shabbat, Zecher liitziat Mitzrayim. Mezuzah, Zecher liitziat Mitzrayim. Matzah, Zecher liitziat Mitzrayim. Tfilin, Zecher liitziat Mitzrayim. Tzitzit, Zecher liitziat Mitzrayim. Almost everything somehow connect to Exodus of Egypt. Why? Why it constantly repeats in the Torah so many times? I want to ask you a question. What is the reason that we eat matzah? What is the reason? It's so important to eat matzah, 2 ounces in less than 4 minutes, to sit on the side. What is all this? What is this? Why it's so important? But why we eat matzah? What's the reason we have to eat matzah on Pesach? According to the Gaon Mivilna, the whole 7 days is mitzvah to eat matzah. Not only Leila Seder. Leila Seder is the beginning of it. So the mitzvah begin. But all 7 days, every time you eat matzah, it's mitzvah from the Torah, according to the Gaon Mivilna. But according to all opinions, first night of Pesach, mitzvah to eat matzah, mitzvah from the Torah, it comes once a year. Why we eating matzah? We said in Haggadah, al shum shelo yispik betzekam shel avotenu lachmitz, that the batzek, the dough of our fathers, did not rise. right? Because of that, they didn't have enough time. You need 18 minutes for it to rise. Because of that, we have an obligation to eat matzah. Is it true or no? What do you think? Is that the reason? That's what the Torah says. The Torah said that that's the reason we eat matzah. But what's the real reason? I want to ask you a question. What came before what? The Torah was given before the world was created, or the world was created before the Torah was given? The answer, the world was created and then the Torah was given. The next question is, what was existed before? The world was existed before the Torah, or the Torah was existed before the world? The Torah was before the world. We say, "Stakel be'oraita uvara alma." Hashem looked at the Torah, and based on the Torah, He created the world. So the Torah, it's the blueprint of the creation. So if somebody asks you, why do you have to respect your parents? Don't answer, because my parents raised me and they gave me money and they took care of all my needs. Now I have to be grateful to them. That's not the reason. Why? Because even if Mustafa did you one favor in his life, you already owe him gratitude. Mustafa did a favor to you. Whenever he needs something, you have an obligation to be grateful. And your parents, Baruch Hashem, are more important than Mustafa, right? So if you owe Mustafa gratitude, you owe your parents a lot more. He did one favor, they did a million favor to you. So you don't need mitzvat kibud av v'em to respect your parents. It's needless to say, Tony, the mafiosa, respects Vinny. No, Tony respects Vinny. What? He's his father, the head of the mafia. One day he's going to take his place. But he respects him, no? So everybody respects their parents. Everybody understands, oh, my parents, you know. So why the Torah say, kabed et avicha ve'et imecha? If it's obvious that you have to respect them even without the Torah saying, because you have a gratitude to every stranger. So why the Torah has to emphasize, you have to respect your parents, and it's going to give you long life in here and in the next world. Such a huge reward. The answer is, because there was mitzvah, kabed et avicha ve'et imecha, Hashem made you parents. Not the other way around. Not because there are parents, you have to respect them. No. Because there is a sentence in the Torah that you have to respect your parents, Hashem made you parents. If it did not say in the Torah to respect your parents, a person will be coming to the world from a tree. There is a tree, there is a little orange. One day, he falls on the floor and crack. A little midget comes out, and he begins to walk, and he grows. You know, like the animals, how they grow right away, they begin to run after a minute. No diapers, no raising the children, no vaccine, no this, no that, nothing. Get up from the ground and begin to walk. Hashem didn't have to make you parents. What's the problem? He has a problem to bring us to the world without parents. We can grow from the ground. A person grows from the ground, one day the peel comes off, he opens up his eyes, he cuts the cord from the ground and begins to walk. What's the problem, no? The answer is, it's all the other way around. It's very hard to understand it. Before the world was created, there was already in the Torah to eat matzah. So based on what the Torah already is written, Hashem made this whole world based on the Torah. It's the other way around. How can it be? The answer is, we will never know why. The opinion of Hashem, only He knows. Secrets of Hashem, only He knows why. Why was important for Hashem that we'll eat matzah? We will never know in this world. Why it was important for Hashem to do this and to do that and to put tefillin and everything, only He knows. The Rambam says, if I knew all the secrets of Hashem, I would be Him. We find in the Gemara in Masechet Psachim, Chol dor vador chayav adam lirot et atzmo keilu yatsa mimitzrayim. Every generation, a person has to look at himself and say, I came out of Mitzrayim, not my grandparents. Before we finish, just let's understand that. At least we have something to go home to think about. That's why we have to thank and praise Hashem for all the miracles that He did to our fathers. We have a mitzvah in Leil HaSeder to tell the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim. But it's a little bit tricky, because this mitzvah exists every minute of our life. It's not only on the night of Leil HaSeder. Night of Leil HaSeder, it's extra, special. Today, I have an obligation, of course, yesterday, tomorrow, every day. I put tefillin, it's a memory of Yetziat Mitzrayim. In a tefillah, it's mentioned Yetziat Mitzrayim. In Shema Yisrael, Yetziat Mitzrayim. Everything is around Yetziat Mitzrayim. With or without Leil HaSeder. With or without Pesach. Everything in Judaism is connected to that day. What does it mean, Mitzrayim? Metzarim, Metzar. What Metzar means? Like jail, border. You're locked in a place. Coming out of these borders, coming out to freedom, out of what? Out of the cord of the Satan, the cord of the Yetzer Hara, the cord of the physical world, the cord of the culture of the Goyim, the way they dress, the way they talk, the way they curse, the way the things that they do. This is what it means, Yetziat Mitzrayim. Not only physically we were in ghetto, and Baruch Hashem we came out of this country, no. A person can be in the greatest city in the world, driving the nicest car, living in the most beautiful mansion, but he never came out of the jail called Satan, the Satan. The Satan control him. The cigarette control him. The drugs control him. His sins control him. The women control him. The greed control him. The laziness control him. Basically, he's a slave of the physical desires. Every physical desire control him. He cannot do one thing in his life that he wants and decided and went 100% with that. Everything in his life, like they say in Israel, Mashe Baba, whatever comes on the way, we'll deal with that. But that's not a kosher Jew. Kosher Jew has a plan. Has a plan. Rav Moshe Feinstein one time made a little party, L'chaim. They asked him, what's the occasion? He said, I finished the Mishnayos. Shisha Sidre Mishnah. So everybody smiled. They thought he's joking. Well, you already finished the whole Talmud, who knows, maybe 100 times or more. The whole Talmud. Shisha Sidre Mishnah for you, it's like the cherry on the huge cake. Are you making a party for eating the cherry? The cake is the main thing. What is the little cherry now? Shisha Sidre Mishnah. You finished it probably 1,000 times. Probably know it by heart already. Everyone was smiling. I waited to see, to clarify what he's saying. So he told him, no, this Mishnayos that I finished, I feel special. Why? I finished them while I was folding my tefillin every morning after Shachrit. When I finished to pray, everybody talks, everyone checks his phone, everyone looks around, you know, people, you know. No, 5 minutes of waste after the tefillah. So what did I do? By the time I was folding my tefillin, I learned one or two more Mishnayot every day. I just got one more siyum on the whole Shisha Sidrei Mishnah. It's a bonus. Time that is wasted, I actually did two things at the same time. Everything in his life was planned. 10 o'clock p.m. in his pyjama in the bed. Not 10:01, not 9:59. Rav Ovadia Yosef, before he became the famous Rav Ovadia and that people never gave him rest, when he has more normal life with schedule, every night before he went to sleep, he was reviewing everything he learned today. After he finished everything, he goes to sleep. Not before. One time, he realized that there's one thing that he doesn't understand 100%. He learned it today, but now he just had a question about what he learned. He took off his pajama, got dressed again, and started again for 2 hours to learn this whole page. After that, he went to sleep. Why? I'm not going to sleep before I know 100% everything I learned today. Discipline, control. That's the key to succeed. Men and women, old, young, Discipline never finish. You can be 99 years old. Look at the Gdolim. We just lost Rav Vosner. Big, big posek ador. After Rav Eliashiv and Rav Ovadia pass away, he was the biggest posek in halacha, in the world. We just lost him, 102 years old. Look what's going on. Look what's happening to us. We had few very big giant chachamim, huge. One after the other is leaving. Rav Eliashiv, Rav Ovadia, Rav Ben Zion Abba Shaul, Rav Vosner. The other ones are all in the 90s or even older than 100. The biggest chachamim from the previous generation, generation of the Chazon Ish, the generation of the big giants that we read about them in a book, people that grew up without electric, people that never held a phone in their hand, people that don't know what the word internet means, people that never saw a woman in their life not modest, they never saw. People that all they saw it's pages of Gemara, millions, one after the other. People that never care what they wear. People that never know the brand name of what they wear or how the house look, or how the kitchen look, or if they have a car or don't have a car, or what the shoes are made from. There's only few like that left in the world, that's it. Everything that comes after is a whole different world, different planet. It's sad, but there's a good point here. What's the good point? The Gemara say, En ben David ba, ad shelo ichlu hachachamim min ador. One of the conditions for the Mashiach to arrive, that he will arrive only when all the biggest chachamim will be disappearing from the world. One after the other, they left. Gdolei Torah, big dayanim in Batei Din. Few of them are left, and they're all in their 90s and up, bli ayin hara. So that's the sad news, that the Gemara said that before Mashiach come, somebody would bring a chicken into the yeshiva and ask if it's kosher or not, and nobody would know. Beginning arguments, kosher, not kosher, I prove to you, no, taref, kosher for Pesach, taref for Pesach. Like today, you take a box of cookies. In some of the stores. They write to you, kasher, kasher, kasher. According to some poskim, it's chametz gamur. They don't tell you the whole picture. According to them, it's kosher. According to the biggest chacham in the world, back in the days, it was completely chametz. This is one of the signs before Mashiach would come. Be'ezrat Hashem, I want to finish. With the whole concept of Shvi'i Shel Pesach, we have to sing Shvi'i Shel Pesach as Yashir Moshe. Moshe gathered all the men and he made a party, men only. He never heard of women and women dance together. And his sister Miriam took all the women to a different place with drums and music, and there was a party for the women. That's one of the sources that you see in the Torah, that men and women cannot dance together or nearby, that one can see the other. But there's one question on a song that Miriam sang. From all the words that Miriam say, she only took one sentence from her brother Moshe. Which one? All her song is different. It's not like Az Yashir Moshe Uvnei Israel, Ashir Al Hashem, Ki Gao Gaas, Uz Doruch Bor Amar. Different. One pasuk is the same. Which one? One pasuk. One verse is the same. What is it? Sus Veruch Bor Amavayam. The rider and the horse, Hashem, sank in the ocean. Why? Why Miriam, from all the psukim, she used only this pasuk? Why she didn't take other? Why she took to begin with? If you take a lot. You don't take at all. The answer is, when Moshe started the party, actually the women were upset. They say the man has a reason to sing. What reason we have to sing? The man is about to receive the Torah. There is an obligation to learn Torah. We are women. We're going to be in the kitchen, cook eggplants, make bread, take care of the donkey, take care of the chicken, collect the eggs. What's to brag about? What to be happy about? What I do, Fatma also does. Christine also do. What is making me special that I'm going to sing that I came out of Egypt? Is my life going to be any different than it was in Egypt? In Egypt, I was a housewife before the slavery. And over here, I'm going to be the same housewife. In Egypt, I gave birth to children and took care of them. Now I'm going to do the same thing. Why should I sing? It's not fair, discrimination. The man is taking everything and we get nothing. But when she heard her brother, the prophet Moshe, say, Sus verochbo rama vayam, she got the point. Because everybody asked this famous question, why Hashem killed the horses also? The Egyptian soldiers are murderers. Murderer? No, of course, Hashem took care of them. What is the horse's fault? The horse. If I get into my car and drive to a place I'm not supposed to go, you blame my car or you blame me? What do you want from my car? Imagine they say, you have to execute your car. The car doesn't have feelings. You execute your car in a junkyard, no, big deal. But the horse is a living creature, man, he's innocent. Why the name of the horse is Sus? Sus. The Gemara says, Sus, Sas Lakrav. He has a nature. What's his nature? He likes to fight. He see war, run inside. Enjoy the party. But that's not the reason why Hashem killed him. Why? There is something like this in life. There is the main thing and there is the foundation. Like you have a tea, Persian tea, in a nice clear glass, and you have the plate. You know, you're holding it with a plate and you serve it. You take off the plate, the tea fall and break. So it's the base, it's holding it. Sefer Torah inside the case. You take the case, Sefer Torah has a shalom fall on the floor. Tefillin, the case of the tefillin, is holding it inside, it becomes holy. It touched the cloth of Sefer Torah, it gets the holiness from it. For good and for bad, meaning the horses were the foundation of the soldiers who come to kill my children. They ran, without the horses they couldn't kill my children. They became an integral part of this machine war called the murderers of Egypt. When they went down, the foundation went down with them. Miriam saw it and she realized one thing. She said, if when it comes to a negative thing, the foundation is responsible like the main thing, women, their job is to send their husband to Talmudei Torah, to wake them up, to support them, to take care of the food, of the clothing, of the errands, that he can sit and learn Torah. I had a friend, his wife was passing away in a hospital maybe 3 or 4 hours before she closed her eyes for good. He was sitting by her bed, very nervous, because all his life he was learning Torah. He never filled up one check in his life. So deep in the Torah, this Rav, that he didn't know where would I start my life, Bechlad. She took care of everything for the last 30 years. So he was sitting by her bed. And before she was fighting for her life, suffering horrible pain, she said to him, what are you doing here? Why are you not in the yeshiva? So he said to her, if I won't be sitting next to you now, when will I sit next to you? You know? So she said to him, what can you do for me, you doctor? Go and learn Torah. Why are you wasting time of Torah? Even the last hour of her life, she was thinking about his Torah. Then he told me one thing. One day he called me up, he said, can you lend me $2,000 urgent? I said, what happened? He said, I came home, I see all these bills, I don't even know what to do. I never filled the check, I don't know what we have. We have bank account, I don't know anything. She took care of everything. So I said to him, you never got involved in anything to know what you have, you don't have? I say, never. From the day we got married, I asked her in the shiduchim, You can handle a bachur that all his life is Torah, 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 non-stop? She said, yes. And that's what she did. I said, okay, come to my home. When he came to my home, he told me one sentence I can never forget. This was about 15, 16 years ago. He told me, I did not step into a store from the day I got married until now for 30 years. Not one store. Not grocery store, not shoe store, nothing. I did not step into a store. 5 years from the 30 years, I was in an attic. I only came down to the bathroom, few stairs, and went up. 5 years I was in the attic learning Torah non-stop, non-stop, learning, learning, learning. From time to time I asked her, you managing? She was managing a school, girls' school. I asked her, are you managing with the bills? Everything's okay. She said, okay, everything's fine, you can relax. So later when I came down, I found out we're months behind on a mortgage. She not one time showed me that she struggled to pay the bills. What she said? She said, we didn't come to this world forever. This world is a preparation for the eternal world. True or false? If that's what the Torah says, that's what I'm putting my whole efforts on. The rest is nonsense. How the chandelier gonna be and how the walls and this, shtuyot hakol. Before you realize it'll be over. I put everything for my husband to learn Torah. And then she went express to heaven. And he had to now, all of a sudden, do things that every little kid knows and he didn't know. So it says like this. Miriam saw that the foundation is important just as the one who does it, the action. And she said, we support our men and our children to learn Torah, we'll get the same reward like them. Actually, a woman that has a husband and a few boys that learn in Talmud Torah, she makes more than them. Because they each one make for himself and she make for all of them combined. And that's what the Gemara said in Baba Batra. Gadol ha-me'aseh yoter min ha-oseh. If you make others do mitzvot, your reward is greater than them. Do you understand? And you should know one thing. When we will be singing the Shirat Hayam in Shvi'i Shel Pesach, you have to remember one thing. When the angel wanted to sing, Hashem told them, don't sing. Ma'aseh adai tovim bayam v'atem omrim shira. Our creation that I took you and made you in charge of the creation, the angels, are drowning and getting destroyed and you want to sing about it? But when the Jews sang, Hashem said, very good that you're singing that your enemies are drowning. Don't be politically correct, hypocrite. Have to have mercy on the murderers, like today in Israel and here and Obama and his friends. Enough with this nonsense. When there is the tzaddikim, you give your life for them. When there is the reshaim, don't have mercy on them. You have mercy on the reshaim, on the murderers and the enemies of Hashem, the enemies of the Torah, the enemies of the Jewish children. Your end would be that you'll be cruel to the tzaddikim, to the big rabbis, to the Torah. That's what happened. If you use your mercy on the wrong people, when you need it for the right people, you won't have it. Why? Not because I say that, because the Torah said it. You use your mercy on Arafat and the Hamas and the little children that tomorrow will be ISIS and chop our heads off. You have mercy on them? When it comes to the Jewish children, you don't have enough mercy. That's what happened. No permission to have David HaMelech say, Mesanecha Hashem Esna. Hashem, those who hate you, those who disrespect you are my enemies, I hate them. He wasn't a liberal Jew running to kiss them and kiss up to them and make them sit in, on the bima next to the Sefer Torah, knowing they are not Shomrei Shabbat and they do all the sins against the Torah. No, no, no. There was no hypocrisy by the big tzaddikim. They used to know who to give respect and who to stay away from. And this is my message to you today. You want to do it the right way, you have to stay from everything bad. Stay from the bad. Stay from the ra. Everything that is ra, stay away from that. No modesty, no kosher. People come to shul, take pictures in Shabbat, driving their car, walking in. One time I went to give a speech in a shul somewhere in New York. I see a guy comes with a motorcycle, Shabbat, 4 p.m. Motorcycle, leather jacket, cellular phone here, takes his helmet, put it here, park in the entrance of the synagogue, not one block away to be embarrassed. Comes like this, I see from the window of the shul, floor level, I see like this, my heart is burning. He comes in, you know, like to add oil to the fire. The rabbi over there gives him Aliyat Shlishi, just arrived with his motorcycle. The steam comes out of my ears. I just couldn't hold myself anymore. I said, I have to protest. Otherwise, I'm going to be liable for that. Hashem is going to punish me for that. I went to the rabbi quietly. I told him, I don't understand. This guy just showed up with the motorcycle in front of everyone, such a chilul Shabbat. You're calling up to the Torah. So one thing is not Shomer Shabbat. You don't want to confront him and teach him what does it mean to be Mechalel Shabbat. That's one problem. But to come and make him Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and give him Aliyah for the Torah, come on, Ratzachta veGam Yarashta. What was his answer to me? Over here we don't hold by these things. I said to him, but it's the Jewish law. What do you mean over here? What, over here it's a different Judaism? He said, it's okay, it's okay. He gives him Aliyah. As soon as he started to talk, his phone started full loud music, Shabbat, 4 o'clock, inside the shul, rap music, in front of 700 people inside the synagogue. Ta 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 ta. And you know what happened when a person, in front of all the people, the Sefer Torah is open on Shabbat, cushy music on the background, and he doesn't know where his phone is. I see the face of this man, he almost got a heart attack. I came quietly to him. I said, I hope you got the message from Hashem. He was shaking. Couldn't talk from the embarrassment. The phone started to ring in the middle of Kriyat HaTorah. Somebody, the guy comes with a motorcycle parked here. You call him to the Torah? Mazepo. You don't have respect for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's going on here in this world? Sinners, the world always had. People who do not want to live by the rule, it's nothing new. It didn't start today. Unfortunately, it was always. A minute after Moshe came down with the Torah, he already had sinners around. But there is a difference how you handle things. I'm not coming to say you go full force and you begin to attack him and embarrass him in front of everyone. Okay, fine. You don't want to do the right thing. You don't want to take him to the side and teach him what Shabbat is. It's your responsibility. But to give him a prize? There has to be a limit to that. Again, a person has to use common sense here. So I started to say to you, to do it, we have to do it right. If you finally accept to do something, I gave an example from Rish Lakish. After he became Baal Tshuva, he did not speak to any one of the gangsters from his past. Every person he spoke on the street to, all the wealthy people ran to invest their money by them. How? They didn't know who they are. They say, if Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish say hello to you on the street, you're for sure kosher. Why? He ran away from people that maybe, chas v'shalom, bring him back to his past. You understand? And this is the real message. Be'ezrat Hashem, I want to finish, first of all, we brought you 3 CDs, so please take advantage on your way out. And I want to thank Rav Aderet, which is like my second father, Baruch Hashem, I wouldn't be standing here without him, and all the help he gave me over the years, from the days he was in Mansi and even after, Baruch Hashem. You have the zchut to sit in this place, Baruch Hashem, there's a kosher place in the middle of the town here that goes according to the Torah and to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Bezrat Hashem, everyone here has to give his heart for places like this, because unfortunately there's not that many places like this left out there, that people do not move from what Hashem really wants, and everything is done according to the real Jewish book of law and not to the politically correct Jewish book of law, unfortunately. And this is the right thing. People that complain about what the Torah say, their complaint is not about the speaker and not about the rabbi and not the people of the place. People that complain about something, it's only about one thing. They complain against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what we should all know. We have to stick to the truth, no matter what the price is, has to stick to the truth. A person that says, I see this and I saw that, nothing is perfect in this world. I already got to one point in my life, if you look for something perfect, you will never find it and you'll never achieve anything. Everything you see that is not according to what you like, put on a side, focus on the main thing. Shabbat is Shabbat, Torah is Torah, modesty is modesty, Bezrat Hashem. I wish every one of us Chag Kasher V'Sameach for the rest of the Pesach. And Bezrat Hashem, hope that this lecture encourage you to become a little bit stronger. Please take CDs on the way out. Thank you very much. Chag Sameach.